for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Musical Chairs is on the air.
Artists, songwriters, instrumentalists, producers, sound engineers,
and anyone else in the arts.
Thank you for joining us. On this episode of Musical Chairs, we have a new guest who's sure to entertain and inspire you. Hear their story, feel their passion, and join them in their journey as we put them in the chair. Now please welcome your hosts, Lisa Berry and Eric Lambier.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. Welcome to
Musical Chairs.
Woo!
Hope everybody's doing great today.
All right. So, Eric, today we're really a full house because we don't just have one.
We have two people on the line with us.
Woo!
First of all, we have the artist, and then we have the producer of the song as well. So, and I swear, we got three.
I think
we have
great.
A manager, too, but he's probably in the background. We don't know
yeah.
what's going on with that.
We gathered everybody just to have a daytime party here.
We did, yeah.
So now, and also, I believe one of our guests is the guitar player on the song that we'll be featuring.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Dale Russell on the line with us. And we'll get into his bio in a bit, too.
Yeah. So we're going to just share with everybody that today we really wanted to share with you guys what journey a song goes on, because like we as the listeners, you know, get to hear it and it's fun and we either dance to it and sing to it or get this nice emotional feeling. But it really has started from so far back and for different reasons all the time. And then goes through a lot of hands, a lot of ears.
Definitely. And we'll be featuring our artist, Jason Vetter, and his new song, Another One More. And we'll be talking about the recording, the writing process, which we do on this show all the time, of what's going on with that. So
that's our theme. All right. So we're going to welcome Jason Vetter and Mr. Dale Russell and Laszlo.
I can't pronounce your last name. So.
Welcome, you guys.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
That's Jason, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. There you are.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to do it.
Yeah. So it's been actually a fun journey because you have just within the last month, that's it, guys, just the last month have, I'm going to be cool here, have dropped a single. And it's called Another One More. And so we want to just talk about that just for right now to say, that song, how has it been since that's come out and everybody's hearing it and singing and listening to it?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. You know, got to play with some really great people, record at a great studio, The Chalet.
Yeah.
And it went just from paper and pen all the way to where it is now in a matter of no time, really.
Right on. Now, you are a singer-songwriter. You've written a lot of songs over your career, correct?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, great. And you are a guitarist as well. Just want to sort of lead the people through this a little bit.
I play a bit of guitar.
You play acoustic, right?
I try to sing.
Well, you're like a campfire. Well, I'm a campfire guitar player. I'm more of a piano player. I call myself a campfire guitar player.
Yeah.
I just want to share, this is really neat for me to watch this, is because you say, you know, you're the writer, and a lot of the times when you can write, you can't always sing or play an instrument, but it's important that you pick up something because you got to get this to the musicians in a way that they can do their own magic too. So is that why you chose the guitar, or do you play other instruments?
Well, I started out on guitar and really started writing songs when I was a young teenager, and found that moving towards songwriting was a little more fulfilling for me. And I started singing because there was no one around to sing.
Perfect.
and you slowly get better and better at it. And it's been a great journey that way.
You know, I always like asking, I know this is probably a simple question. I hope we don't catch you off guard. Let you think about it for a second. Is I like asking artists why you write or why you play. Because a lot of people have different sort of reasons for it. Could be anything from, I just like it, you know, I like the way people cheer around me too. I got to get this out. I just feel, you know, inspired constantly to write. So I'm going to ask you that question. Why do you write?
Thanks. It's something I always think about constantly. It's a constant in my day, and you have your brain radio and your antennas up, and sometimes you receive these great signals and you got to write them down.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It is kind of like that, I think, with a lot of inspiration. Hey, Lisa, too, with writing books and things, too.
Actually, this is a neat one because you shared with me, and I thought this was really cool, that this particular single, so it's another one more, it was somebody came to you and asked you to write this. So now that's a totally different thing. Like somebody planted the seed and you had to kind of grow it. So
I didn't know that. This is great.
Okay. So how, like, when somebody asks you about a song, do they give you too many details, or do you just tell them just leave it at a very minimal and then you kind of go into your own thing?
Well, no, it was nothing specific. I was asked by Mike Pallon to write a country song.
Okay.
And okay. And I was in a local pub, and a gentleman started talking to me, and he had paid his tab already and started talking to me. So he ordered another beer and paid for that one. He was going to leave. Then he started talking again. He said, oh, I'll have another one more.
Perfect.
And then the next day, I woke up and a little scrap of paper in my pocket said another one more. And I sat down and wrote the song in about the time it takes to play it.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And that's interesting, guys, because I will say as a songwriter, sometimes it does that, and then I've had songs that take me a year. But that's really cool how it just flows out like that. Do you often have it like that, or is it a bit of hit and miss? You're probably going to like me.
I wish it was always like that, but no, it's not always like that.
Yeah, I wish it was always easy, right?
Well, the nice thing is, too, is I have my mentor. I've been my teacher since I was a kid. His name's Stephen Cordingley, and he's here with us today.
Oh, hi,
we got more people.
Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Hi there. How you doing?
Good. Oh, I knew it was a party. I got drop-ins.
And the nice thing is that Steve tells me where to put my fingers, and also records and writes with me as well. And we spent many years, 30 now, about that, and just on the journey of music. And then with this song, Mike Pallon hooked me up with Dale and Rob Laidlaw.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Aubrey Dale playing drums. And I couldn't ask for or wish for a better group of musicians to play with. It's really great.
Oh, I have a question. Okay. So that, because you just said that, so you are so, you know, it sounds like you just couldn't be happier. Like you said that. What happens to a song when you don't have the right musicians? Does it affect the song?
It depends what you're doing. If you're keeping it, or if you're writing it and giving it to them, and you could just tell they're not getting it, but they think it's great. You've done your job. You planted the seed, and you know. But if it's for you to perform and play, you really want to get it right. And I think you always know the guys you want to play with. You always know if it's gonna be right, you know.
Now was that, were these guys chosen from Dale? Because I know Dale, you have a lot of connections with these fellas.
Yeah, they're hi, by the way.
Hi, Dale. Dale Russell, folks.
Yeah, I was, well, you know, Mike called me up and said, hey, I want you to hear this guy, and I came over, and he played a couple of songs, and he played another one more, and that was the song that of the few that Jason sang that day that I thought was the strongest, and we all did, and so therefore the journey began in terms of taking it to the studio and so on. And yeah, the guys that Jason mentioned, Rob Laidlaw, great bass player, been around a long time, and Aubrey Dale, a killer drummer, like heavy duty, multiple genres, and Dave Chester, who owns the Chalet studio, of course, where most people probably know that, if they know of that studio, they know that Rush used to take that building over for months at a time. And there are so many famous people that have gone through that studio. And so once we agreed that was the song, and Mike and I talked about it, and I told him, well, if you want me to produce it, then I'd be more than happy to do that, and we'll pick the good boys, the good players.
And we had Anita Paris as well.
And we had Anita Paris coming in on.
Oh,
back.
Anita! Right.
Cool.
It was just a wonderful lineup of people, and so off we went to the chalet and banged it out, and then I brought it back here and did some mixing and mastering and so on. And
also, we did that group sing too.
We did the group sing. We got a bunch of people singing. Like, we needed a barroom kind of a feel to it.
Oh yeah, it's at the end of the song there.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of the old Friends in Low Places song.
Absolutely, yeah, that's great. Yeah, dance. Yeah.
Sure. Right? Yeah, Brooks, yeah.
I don't have any of those, by the way.
No idea.
Places. Okay, that's your next song.
And just to give you a little history, which I don't know quite the whole history of Dale Russell, singer, songwriter, producer, and played guitar with the Guess Who, correct, Dale?
Yeah, that's good succinct look.
Is that good? That's succinct your life all in one minute. But no, just a fabulous guitar player.
Well, very much like Jason, I knew as a teenager that do, and I started writing back then as well. And you know, these days, music has progressed and regressed in some ways too.
But, yeah.
You know, pointing fingers or anything, but it's one of those things. But the great part about songwriting is that if you're honest with yourself and you come from an honest place, you can definitely telegraph and communicate that to an audience. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other kind of songwriting where, you know, it's a pop song and you're going for the
pop.
Yeah. That's good. That works too, because as you can tell, especially by many, many young people like that, that love pop music and so on, and that, which is great. And, you know, I wouldn't mind having one of those hits, but I really do appreciate when I hear something that is, it's got character, it's got depth, it's got, good melody, and you can tell when people enjoy it. And I really believe that this song that Jason is working right now could have some very good results, I'm hoping. And thank you for including us.
Well, thanks,
on your
Gail,
show.
That's great.
Oh, yay! Well, that's really neat that you said that specifically, because you really kind of like you fell in love with the song and you knew it. You had a vision. You felt the right people that would come to it. And a question about songwriting, because as a songwriter, they're writing a lot of songs. How does one know? Like, say Jason wrote a song and he was just like, he was attached to it. He really felt this had a journey, but no one else was kind of feeling it. How do you know how long to hang on to a song and shop it?
It's funny because those are the ones. The ones that I love best are always the ones,
Oh, no. So what do you do with that, though? Like, what happens if you have such faith and belief in a song, but nobody's getting it?
Well, you wait till Eric invites you to the campfire.
Yeah. Well, it's like Friends in Low Places was actually recorded before Garth did it. I don't know if people know that. But one of those brothers bands, and it did nothing. It went nowhere. I mean, so sometimes it's good to hang on.
Yeah.
Well, to your question. But, I mean, that's my sort of view. Sometimes it's good to hang on, but other times it depends. I would say, myself, I'd see if you guys agree with this, pass it by some people who know. I mean, every friend of yours will say it's the best thing you've ever written.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They really will. Your wife will tell you, my God, that's amazing. But you know what? Really pass it by some people in the know, because, a lot of times it'll guide you. Sometimes it doesn't. Other times it's like, there's that Maneater song, back in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maneater. You know what? It wasn't even supposed to be on the demo reel. And yeah. What that happened, So it became, the biggest hit there. So.
And you can always be wrong. Like, everybody has the right to be wrong. And occasionally that happens. And
hey, I'm going to use that. Write that down.
I already got it. Actually, I've got that one copywritten already.
Freeway now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, we'll just get together and write it. How's that?
We'll get together and steal each other's songs.
Sure. Already done. Sorry.
The real truth about writing is that, and you know, as a musician or as a songwriter, you're always a little bit self-conscious about, especially if you're divulging any kind of truth.
Yeah.
And you feel like, oh man, I don't know, it's taking a risk. I'm putting it out there and I don't know what to do. I'm insecure. And we're all insecure artists. That's what makes us push on. And then every now and then, like you said, Eric, you know, a lot of people are going to tell you that, yeah, I love it, I love it, I love it. And you go like, I don't really love it. But and then you take it out and you play it out. And to people that you don't know, and if they like it, that's good verification. If they, you know, start talking loud and forget all about you up there, then maybe that's a sign, you know.
Yeah. And what I remember somebody, one artist telling me, a sign of the times, if people start texting, you're done. In the middle
right.
of your song.
Yeah.
The new one. Well, actually, now that we've built the song up beautifully, we're going to sneak away to commercial in the next 20 seconds here. But when we come back, I just want everybody know that you'll be hearing the newly dropped single, Another One More, and it's by Jay Vedder. Jason Vedder. And I call him Jason. And we're going to be playing that live right here on Musical Chairs. So when we come back, woo-hoo, Another One More.
Hope you like it.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times.
Om Times magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from new thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
All right.
We are back. Musical Chairs. We've got
Jason Vedder on the line and friends. We have Dale Russell.
Laszlo.
Steven.
We've got everybody. And so we've got host Eric Lambier and I'm Lisa Berry. And we are so excited because we are going to get to play you guys a really fun country song. Like
absolutely. Jason Vedder's new song, Another One More again. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. This is the America debut, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
All right. But, okay. So I got a lesson, I mean, a message for Eric.
Oh, okay.
From Laszlo. He says, Eric, you don't get a beer because you can't pronounce his name.
Oh. This is the work musicians have to do here.
Yeah, that's right. No, you what to do, and
I'll be nice to her.
All right. Okay, so here we go, everybody. It's another one more by Jason Better.
Well, I found a little spot a couple months ago. Neighbors want to know why I ain't been home, 'cause I had another one more. Well, it's easy to make some new old friends there. Leave your change on the bar just to show you care, and have another one more. Well, tell me now, mister, you been there before? Got there at 5 and you're leaving at 4. You can't seem to get yourself through the door without another one more. Well, I'll have another one more. I'll call it a night, keep my boots on the floor. I'll be doing all right. I'll just say this before you turn out the light. Starts to sing along. I'll have another one more. And when the new girl can't seem to find a seat, my buddy gets up and she sits with me. I'll give him another one more. That's right. Well, tell me now, mister, you've been there before. You got there at 5 and you're leaving at 4. Can't seem to get yourself through the door without another one more. Well, I'll have another one more. And I'll call it a night. Keep my boots on the floor. I'll be doing all right. I'll just say this before you turn out the lights. I'll have another one. Tequila, 3 tequila, 4. That's the voodoo child trick. Makes you want one more. Well, I'll have another one more. I'll call it a night. Keep my boots on the floor. I'll be doing all right. I'll just say this before you turn out the lights. Well, I'll have another one more. I'll call it a night. Keep my boots on the floor.
I was dancing, Eric didn't.
Glad you like
You know, it's such a fun, and everybody can, like, I've so been there before. Well, it might be a little more cups of tea for me, but you just end up staying because you're having such a good time, and you're chatting, and it's a conversation.
Come on, you like having a wine, Lee.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Wine's not really drinking, is it?
Yeah.
No. It's a bad moment. Video, right?
It's like having a Caesar. Caesar's not really drinking.
I might have another 2 more.
So with that one, you want to have him walk us through the...
We're just going to walk through a little thing. This is probably a very difficult question, but when was it written? It's a fairly new rite, right, Jason? It was in the last 6 months?
I would give it that, yeah.
So the last 6 months that you wrote it. So let's just walk a bit about the studio again. is recorded at Chalet Studios in Claremont, Ontario, which is a beautiful spot. And just walk us through the people again who played on it. Again, we had Aubrey Dale on drums.
Right.
And we had Rob Laidlaw on bass.
Right.
And, okay. And Dale did guitars, right, Dale?
Guitar.
Yeah, Dale on guitar as well, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And
right.
We had Anita Parrish singing backups and
her friend's name that she plays drums too, but she came out and sang. And we had Blaine Zimmerman. We had
Steve even got in on the group vocal.
And Mike Delon was in on it too.
We had
the whole family.
Was that at the end there? Was Mike? Yeah. I thought I could hear him cheering at the end there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only kidding.
Couple off-tune voices so you get that reality sound. I heard that he sings too well. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my motto. I live by it.
Yeah.
So when you're all in the studio like that, it just really is about having fun. But you have an outcome in mind. And, like, did you guys know how soon you'd be putting it out and releasing it? Or was it that planned? Or just all, let's see how this goes.
It was just sit back, be humble, be quiet, and one step at a time. Let's see what's going to come out of this. Let's hear what it's going to sound like. And then you start feeling comfortable. And I mean, I did my vocal take in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
Nice.
All right, people are hating you right now.
Well, that's because I cracked the whip a couple of times earlier on in the post. Got him to really go over the song and make sure that he was totally, connected to what it was.
Yeah, and I got the scars to prove it.
Yeah, so the pre-production really makes a difference. When you walk in with confidence, there may be a few little changes here and there, you know, because once you're in the studio and the guys are playing and the vibe might change just a little bit, or it might go deeper than you think it might, and all of a sudden it's pulling more out of you. But the pre-production prepares you for that, and he did a great job, like truly all the guys did.
Well, thank you.
Aww.
So how many days were you recording, do you figure?
4 hours.
Yeah.
So you did the whole song, everybody's parts, in 4 hours?
Yeah, knocked it out, just like a, you know, pretty much like a Nashville session, just.
Holy geez.
I could have did it faster, but I had to go grab a couple double-doubles for these guys. Or
yeah.
Oh, for those long, the all-nighter.
I was going to say, who delivered the pizza?
I'm really glad you mentioned about pre-pro, and I have to say, so I come to Eric often, I'll say, Eric, I want to do this commercial. See, I love doing commercials. That's my thing.
She's the commercial queen.
And so he's like, okay. And then as soon as I arrive, he says, okay, now did you practice? And I go, no, I ran out of time. I was busy. He goes, it's so important that you, first of all, get calm. Forget about what's going on in your life in the day, you know, and really, like you said, go deep into what you're doing. Connect with it. And so that really resonated to me. My ears just perked up because I know that if I don't, he's like, start again.
And the other thing, too, that I found with commercials or even with producing songs and myself is if you listen to some songs, that kind of gets you in the mood. It's like I remember talking to a producer once, and if they are, say, doing an aggressive song, they'll actually watch some aggressive parts from a movie, something like that, and it gets you sort of in the mood. Or if it's a romantic song or a party tune like this, you could, you know, do the same kind of thing. Just get your inspiration up, right?
So is that what you guys, like, what did you guys do?
I mean, in the 4 hours we were in the studio, I think I watched Dale drink like a case and a half of Canadian.
Oh, perfect. Was my phone busy?
No, it was like really at Olympic rates. I was like, I had a whole new respect for him after that.
You know he's full of it. You know that, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. So what is it that you, like, you guys do? Is it something you listen to? Is it something you think about? Is it something you read? You just make sure you get a good night's sleep before? What is the preparation for you guys?
I think it's just being comfortable knowing that the ground you're laying and the song that you're doing is something worth giving your time to and something that you want to keep and lasting to you, you know. You leave behind a few things, and tunes you write is definitely a great thing to leave behind, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I have to.
Is that the, you know, when you have good players and you got a great studio and mm-hmm. and you've got a good song, and what it does is like every one of these guys are professional, very like Eric. I mean, you know, you're a killer player, and there's there's that little bit of inspiration that turns into a lot of inspiration
mm-hmm.
because there's so many people that really want to do their best and they really want to make the artist happy and the producer happy. And you know, there's a few different kinds of producers. There's a producer that says, my way or the highway, and they've got a good record, track record or something, and all of a sudden, you are the puppet on the string.
Yeah.
Or you can be the kind of a producer that is very, very conscious of what it is that needs to happen, but at the same time, what is this group of musicians going to bring to the table, and what is the artist going to do mm-hmm. when it's their turn? Mm-hmm. And you have to you know, coach, and at the same time, do not be afraid to say, you know, perhaps we could try this. We've already got that, so let's do another take, and let's try this
mm-hmm.
until you get to that zone where, you know, it's undeniable.
Right.
And that's what makes hit records is it's undeniable.
Yeah.
So which is Dale, Jason?
Yes.
which kind is Dale?
Well, I honestly, I did my vocal track at the very end, and I think I might have said 10 words in the studio the whole day, but before that, I knew I was in really good hands.
Oh, great.
And
well, Dale's easy to work with. That was kind of a joke, but
absolutely
a bad one.
I felt really comfortable right away. I knew I was in good hands, and I said, "Yeah, go."
I'm glad that you mentioned a hit record there, because one of the questions, and what I really wanted to title this whole theme was, when a songwriter, when anybody's writing, like, it's usually their dream to get into the hands of the stars, like the great ones that you're, like, a legacy. You're talking about, you know, you make sure that you want to, you're proud of it, that you're leaving this here. And I'm thinking of the word legacy because I'm kind of doing that whole month right now. But yeah, and so when you think of a hit record, I mean, that is, it's leaving a legacy. So how... When any songwriter is writing, do you think that that's where they're imagining that song going to, like, the top? Or, like, does it start there? When does it become, like, I want a hit record, and I want a hit song, and I want the greats to sing this?
Or, like, you know, you get your paycheck every 2 weeks, and you think it's going to be something, and when you get the envelope, you open it up, and it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's
I think for me, I still remember between grade 8 and grade 9 learning some pop stuff. And I remember going back into high school and playing, and all of a sudden there were people around, and there's a lot of ladies coming around, and I got to tell you that I think at that point I went, this is kind of cool, you know, for music, not only the musical part. Because I've always loved music myself, and I'm sure that you boys are the same. But it's kind of, when it's inspiring and other people liking what you're doing too, it sure makes you want to do it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. For me too, I mean, it was grade 9 early on like that. I met Steve. He was actually my music teacher. And that's how we met. And I was, you know, kind of a scrappy little kid with, you know, long hair and dirty jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know. He took me, and we started on a Tascam 4-strap, right?
Wow. I had a Tascam.
The difference with Jason and a lot of kids was, a lot of kids would learn a song to be able to say, hey, I can play Stray Cat Strut or whatever and get a bit of attention. But he wanted to learn stuff to incorporate it into his own playing and his own style. And I could see that very early on, that he was taking a different approach to it. And that's what made him really stand out.
That's a great answer.
That is really.
That was Steve, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Steve Cordingly. And whenever I do write a song, Steve has a studio in his house, and we go there and we demo it, and he usually helps me a lot with the bridges.
Oh yeah, that's okay.
Steve is the bridge master, and he, you know, I'll lay it down, demo it, work on it, and I think then going in and approaching musicians with something in your hand like that is invaluable. It speeds up the process immensely.
A super important question. A lot of, you know, at home studios, because you mentioned he's got a studio in his home, a home studio. Now, then we also talked about Chalet being a big, you know, studio where lots of people have, like, top people have come through. But they're equally important, like you said, for their role. So do you always go to a home studio, would you say, to do your demos? Or do you, and then go to the big studios for the finished ones?
Well, sure. I mean, since the beginning, guys have probably had tape decks and push play and record with a cassette deck.
Yeah. You
know, I'm so happy showing everybody, you got to listen to this, you got to listen to this. And, you know, that's how it starts. Scratched out on a pizza box, on a napkin, on a, you know, and it's just Steve has built himself a really immense, expensive and beautiful pizza box.
Oh, nice.
Thank you for that.
Well, yeah, because I think as people walk through, they're like, hey, I've got a song, where do I start? So we're going to sneak away to commercials, the final commercials here. But when we come back, Eric's going to continue walking you guys through this journey so that everybody can listen, because there's so many creators and songwriters out there, and they're just going to learn so much from you. So
come back to Musical Chairs, folks.
Woo!
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Back to Musical Chairs with myself, host Eric Lambier,
and Lisa Berry,
and we have Jason Vetter and company on the line with us, folks, if you're just joining us.
Yes, in the chair.
In the chair, yeah.
So we've got a couple of questions here about this visit. So another one more. It's been launched. No, that's my buff word. What's your word?
It's been released. Right. Now, you guys, you're getting, I think you were saying you're getting some airplay, which is good, correct?
Well, I think we just did, didn't we? But...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Woohoo! You heard it here first. But where can people check it out after from here? They go, oh, God, I really want
to. You're on all the like Deezer, Spotify.
Yes, correct. It's available on every major.
We bought it, by the way, so you owe me $1.29.
Oh, that's
No, yeah, we do. We buy all the artist stuff. We do, actually, to promote the artists as well. So what I was going to say, too, is the folks out there, either in Canada or across the U.S. or wherever you're listening to us, you know, if you have a local radio station,
please, you know, request, if it's a country station, request another one more by Jason Vedder.
I'd appreciate that. And, you know, you can find us on Facebook. Jason.
Oh, yeah, Vedder. Where?
I'm Jason Vedder.
Okay. You have a fan page, of course?
Yeah, and, I mean, YouTube, all the streaming platforms, Jason Vedder, another one more.
Cool. Okay, I have a question. So say somebody's listening and they wrote a song and they've actually got it demoed, they've even maybe produced it. Who did that for you? Who, like somebody says, they're in the creative state and they're like, well, I don't know, how do I get it on YouTube, Spotify, and all these places? What do they do?
Correct.
Hope.
No, you really, you know, you always hear you have to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. You know, I was sitting in a small bar, playing acoustic guitar by myself, and that's when Mike Pilon walked in, heard me play, and gave me his card and said, "Write me a country song and call me." And I mean, I was at the right place at the right time. And I've always heard that and tried to run around being in the right place. But, you know, it happens when it happens. And that's just the truth.
Yeah. And did Mike hooked you up with Dale? Is that how the process worked?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. With Dale Russell to do the recording.
There's something really important to be said there. I just love that you really set the scene, because you said you were in this small little pub or bar and you got out there. And I think a lot of people, that's what they're like, you're not going to be heard or seen. The right place and the right time is not hiding away, and you've really got to feel comfortable and you never know where it could be. And that's why it's important to always kind of say yes, like just say yes and get it out there.
Like, it's not going to happen on your couch.
No, it's not. I mean, I've always been the kind of guy, if I don't have a gig or a couple gigs on, you know, if I'm not playing a gig on Friday, I panic.
Now, are you, Jason, are you the kind of guy who's so confident or brave that you would, like, if you were just out in a, I don't know, sitting in a park, would you just get your guitar out and kind of sing out loud and then go for it? Or
I play everywhere I go. I play hours daily. So, yeah. So, and I do, I take my guitar everywhere I go. I always have.
But you have a new thing on the go right now, right? Like the, brand new news.
Yeah, it is really. Thanks.
Okay. Drum roll. No Aubrey Dale, but here you go.
Yeah. I'm putting out Humble Music. Humble Music Studios. It's a music instruction facility with guitar, bass, drum, keyboard, vocal teachers. Also has fully equipped rehearsal rooms available. Also, there is an auditorium which holds 200 people with a stage and lights. And we're going to throw a show starting once a month, starting at the end of March. And it's a really exciting venture.
Oh my gosh!
People sign up for that, or how's that work?
That's exciting! Congratulations.
Thanks.
Where is it?
It's right downtown Oshawa, 72 Richmond Street. The sign will be put up tomorrow. Look for it, Humble Music Studios.
Wow!
Come on in, and if you want to learn guitar, bass, drums, keyboards, vocals, or if you're in a band already, and if you want to spend some time learning and being around music and you know, just feeling the vibe and catching a piece of it, then this is going to be the place to go.
Okay,
cool.
I'm happy. This is exciting. I really think this is incredible. Okay, we need to tell everybody, which we are. And this is yours, or you've partnered with people and you're supporting it or representing it, or?
I'm basically I'm heading it up, but I have a ton of support. So.
Okay. And so the once a month concert, let's say, is that somebody like that Eric, like they sign up? Like, could Eric and I just scooch on in? Or
Absolutely.
Oh, we can do a show there.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can do a show from there sometime. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're in it. Yeah. You're in.
Yay, everybody.
Laz books the bands, and Laz books the bands and heads up the live events in the facility. So we'd be really glad to have you, and it's gonna be a place full of music.
You know what? Thank you, Laz. I appreciate that. I'm just saying that for me as well. That is bringing people together. And you know what? This is such a perfect segue invitation, because as we just said, it's not going to happen sitting on the couch. So if somebody's like, well, I don't really want to go to the bar, I don't want to sing in a park, you know what? Go to a place where your people are, and you never know who you collaborate in the right. Oh, this is so exciting.
Absolutely. The other question I had was about plans in the future a bit. You know, there's a lot of festivals around. Would you guys be into doing any of those kind of things? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Festival season's coming up. It's a good time to get out there and start.
Sometimes you get people at festivals who don't go to bars, right?
And yeah,
it's a good way to get your song out there. I played one.
Yeah. Also, you know, I've been working a lot and doing a lot of writing. I have a whole country album written.
Nice.
I just demoed a new song last night at Steve's place. It's called V for Victory, and looking forward to doing it again.
Yes.
You know, all I want to do is do it again.
There you go. There's another song I'm stealing.
There's a theme here. It's called the repeat button here. No, I have a question for Mr. Dill. You've really seen Dill. Why do I keep saying that? My God, we're back.
Called him Dill.
I am blushing, everybody, just so you guys can feel that. When you've produced, but you also do a lot of session playing. Did you hear his song, Jason's song last night, and say, yeah, that's the one I'm feeling aligned with that one.
Yeah, that was when Mike invited me over, and I listened to Jason, and that was the song that stood right out to me. And
the V for Victory or the other one?
Oh, he hasn't even heard that one yet.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's so. Yeah, you're letting. Okay, I thought he was gonna. Is he going to get to hear it? Because now you've downloaded it.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd do it right now.
I want to play it for him, but he's on the phone.
Oh. All right. So we've got an album. We've got the.
So the next, hopefully the next release will be that. But we're like, if I could talk correctly, we'd like to concentrate on another one more being out there. So are you guys, now you perform locally in a steady gig, correct?
Right now I'm going sporadically out and playing locally, and I'm really battening down the hatches on another one more and focusing on more songs it's one thing to write a song, it's another thing to write an album, and I'm sure you know what I mean.
For sure.
Yeah, you have to have a flow there, and kind of once you hit the vibe, once you get three or four songs into it, it kind of takes on a life of its own, and that's really where I'm at right now.
Getting it to the people, to the people constantly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's about getting it out to the people. So that's great. What's that?
Video. So a lot of people, because you mentioned that you're on YouTube, is there a video coming out for it?
Or do you have a video on YouTube?
How are
you doing with your iPhone?
Okay, willing and things like that. I'd love to do a video for another one more. It kind of like, you know, when you used to listen to radio shows, you close your eyes and picture what's going on. I love doing that. And with this song, I think it could just be a great visual as well as audio. So yeah, I can really picture a great video for this tune, and I certainly love to do that.
Yeah, it lends itself to a good video too, because you can always see those follow the lyrics through, of course.
Yeah.
You kind of put, you get a little humor in there, a little bit of your humor in there would be cool. Yeah. So And it's so easy to make videos these days. You can almost do it with like a couple iPhones. You're good with it, right?
There's a lot of things out there right now that aren't like totally high tech, but they get the job done. And I find that there's a lot of things, on Facebook, et cetera, even YouTube and so on, where it's just very, very casual, but they're, the singer is singing a song, and some cases it gets a little more elaborate. And I think, as long as there's some realism, with the cameras and so on, not only just on the phones, but other, good quality cameras, you can do just about anything.
Definitely. And it's good. I find some artists, what they'll do is just do a live version of it, as opposed to having the whole band and doing the whole video thing. It's just you and a guitar, or you and a couple players.
Unplugged.
There you go. That's
that was actually no music word. That's awesome.
You can do it unplugged. And you know what? And like Dale says, it gives it a sense of realism. You're doing it from somebody's living room or something. I mean, it's kind of cool that way, as opposed to always trying to dress it up and be, if you got the budget, go for it. That can be a pretty big budget, as we all know.
Right.
So that's another thing too, is budget. If we're thinking about the title of this whole show, we're thinking, okay, writing songs, we want the greats to hear them. Do you think the budget reflects, like, if somebody were to spend, is it just like a chance, an opportunity, or do you think you need to pour the money into it to get it out there?
No, it's all about the song. If you could sit guitar in your voice and entertain and play a song that stands on its own ground and is undeniable, then it's out of your hands now. Done it. That's it.
Right. That really gives a lot of confidence too, I think. So if you were to give some tips to songwriters right now, so from where you have been and where you are, like, if that songwriter out there is getting frustrated, they're like, oh my gosh, I have like hundreds of songs. Like, what tips could you give them to do right now to get themselves into a better place?
One at a time, one at a time. And the first rule in being a musician, I think, is don't stop.
Oh, I love that.
Also, I think in a couple of places, people have said, well, you kind of meet people. I mean, sometimes they can be, a bit of holes. But the thing is, you can go to open mics a lot. If you find the right open mic, there's a lot of musicians and sometimes a lot of writers there that you can hook up with as well. Or I do know, I remember years ago, I don't know if they still do it. They used to put out like the music, what was it called, where it had producers and all kinds of people in it. I don't know. Do they still do that? You guys know? Around here, they put out that kind of a magazine where you can find producers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Lawyers.
I remember that. I do remember that. It was like a musician's newsletter kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, now we have internet on computers now. So, people run to that, and you have a wealth of information at your disposal there. That's really the platform that's going to last now. And
I guess you can also, obviously with Google or go on Facebook and punch in. I've done a lot of stuff with Facebook, especially festivals. If you punch in, your genre of music and that kind of thing, you can hook up a lot of people. Whether they respond to you is another question.
Right. And that goes back to having songs that stand up. Right.
Yeah.
That really is it.
Yeah.
If you believe in that, in these songs and they stand, then get them out there.
Yeah.
A lot of times if you go stale a little bit, you start thinking, well, why would anybody care about my song? What I have to say.
Right.
If you start thinking like that, then write a song about that, and then
write it from the heart.
I love that.
Well, we'd like to. We're getting to the end here, right?
Yeah, we're literally finished. But I just a quick thing there. I love that. Don't stop. So anybody's out there, just don't stop, and just keep putting it out there.
Keep pushing through.
I like that. Right.
But we'd like to thank you, fellas, for being on. Thank you, Jason.
Mr. Dale Russell. Yeah.
Steve, Cardi, and Laz, I don't know your name.
Laz, I owe you a beer.
Steferoski, how's that? Is Laszlo Steferoski?
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, well, for Google. Everybody, go get Jason Vedder song, Another One More.
Another One More.
Thank
Check
you,
it
guys.
Out. Play it all you want. Request it. And thank you, fellas, for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Musical chairs. Woo!
2 weeks. We'll be on again.